Here it is, getting close to Christmas. Galatians chapter 4, if you will. Galatians chapter 4. Now, if you don't come to Sunday school, I wish you'd come, and all the kids ought to be in Sunday school, certainly. So come to Sunday school. Galatians chapter 4. I want to ask you a question today, and then I want to answer my own question. You ever done that? I know you have. What if, here it is Christmas, what if Jesus returns on Christmas? What if Jesus returns on Christmas? Well, Pastor, where in the world would you get that? I'm going to show you. I'm glad you asked. I'm going to show you. It's in the book, amen? Now, I'm not saying that's the day he's coming, but I'm saying that there's a good chance he could come back on Christmas. And I'm not even preaching this today, but you know the Bible says when they least expect it, when they look not, that's the day he's coming. And you know what? Christ is completely left out of Christmas nowadays. Nobody would expect Jesus to come back on Christmas Day, would they? Very few people would look for him. So today I want to get you prepared just in case he does. Amen? Look at Galatians chapter 4 in verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Talking about us Gentiles, so we could be saved. But underline this. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. All right, now turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. For I would not, brethren. Now he's talking to Christians. For I would not, brethren, Romans chapter 11, verse 25, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. He said, now it's a mystery, but I don't want you believers to be ignorant of this. Okay? He says, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Now what did he say? John 1, he says he came unto his own, but his own received him not. John 1, 11, blindness, they're blind, they don't see him as the Savior. He said, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. There's that term again, fullness. Fullness of the Gentiles. When the fullness of time was come, it was time. When everything was worked out, it was time. The fullness of time was come. Now he says, when the fullness of the time of the Gentiles is come. When all the Gentiles have been saved, it's going to be saved. When all the Gentiles that are going to be adopted into the family of Abraham or adopted into the family of Abraham through believing on Jesus Christ, it's time. Now turn over to Luke. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Amen. If y'all kids don't have a Bible, see me. I'll get you a Bible. I'll buy you one for Christmas. That's what everybody don't want for Christmas, ain't it? Luke 21. You ought to carry your Bible. Somebody, now I got all kind of electronical devices, but it's just something about turning the pages on a Bible. Now I can get it on that electronic thing. I could type my notes on that thing, stand up here and preach, but there's just something different about holding the Word of God. I like to smell it. Don't you like to smell it? You ever smelt the Bible? I mean, some people like to smell money. That stinks. I want to smell the Word of God. Amen. All right, Luke 21, Luke verse 25. Now, Jesus is talking about the end of the age, the second coming of Christ. He gives all kind of signs. Then he says in verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. and these things, and when these things begin to come to pass, you see that begin, not after, when they begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Boy, there it is right there. Now, climate change, global warming, a bunch of nuts. Look, all this stuff's happening is because Jesus is getting ready to come back. The fullness of the time of the Gentiles is at hand. Remember when the fullness of time was there at first for the Israel, God had a time set. He had everything set. And when all that was in place, the fullness of time, then God sent forth His Son to Israel. John 1:11. He sent him to his own received him not. But verse 12, but as many as received him, to them, the Gentiles, gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that's the second when the fullness of time was come, when all the Gentiles is going to get saved. And by the way, God knows. God knows God knows the last one to get saved before they ever even get saved. They don't even know it, but he knows it. And boy, once that last one gets down and says, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died in my place. I believe He lived a life I can't live. I believe He died the death I can't die. And I believe He rose from the dead. And I'm going to put all my trust on Him and nothing else. Da-da-da-da! Come up hither! That's it. The fullness of time's there. The last Gentile got in. And that's it. Now remember, before Jesus came, there were some things that were happening. And I believe we can look around. He said, just like in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. He said they were married and they were given in marriage and they were just going about their business as if God didn't exist and as if God wasn't going to do anything. Oh, Noah, he's over there building that ark and they just keep on working, acting like it's never going to rain. And then one day, when it was time, the fullness of time had come, the rain started falling. And they all died, except those eight. All of them die. He said, just like it was in that day, it's going to be in the next time when I come again, they're going to be married and giving in marriage and they're going to be ignoring God and they're going to be like nothing's happening. And the old Baptist preacher, he's preaching Jesus is coming and they just laugh and go on and they do whatever they want to and they live however they want to and they may pray every once in a while when they end up in the hospital or down at the cemetery, but other than that, they're just living it up and they're acting like he's never coming. And when that time comes, finally, when the last one gets saved, the trumpet's going to sound. And we're going out of here. Amen? What if it happened on Christmas? Well, the fullness of time came, and we call it Christmas. And it came the first time. Well, what about when the fullness of time for the Gentiles, us, the church now, what about when it's all done for the Gentiles and the last one's been saved? What if that's the same day as Christmas? And he comes again. Well, wouldn't that be something? Bunch of people on Christmas Day would be celebrating Santa Claus and we'd be celebrating the birth of Christ and we'd get to go up and they have to stay. Some Christians would be ashamed because they'd be celebrating Santa Claus instead of Christ. Amen? And they'd have to go up anyway. But he said, in the days of Noah, marrying and unexpectedly giving in marriage and unexpectedly just living on and on and on, and he came. And listen, he also said when the minds of men were on evil continually. They were on wicked continually. They lived wickedly. They thought wickedly. Everything they did was wicked. Everything they thought about was wicked. And boy, doesn't that kind of sound like the day that we're in right now. The first time he came, religion was out of control. Religion. Israel was very religious. Matter of fact, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had ruined faith in the God of Abraham. They had ruined it. They had added all kind of laws to it. They had justified things they shouldn't be doing. They changed laws to justify the way they live. And religion was in control of the government. Religion was in control of the people. And they were crooked. Religion was crooked. The leaders of their religion, the Jewish faith, the Pharisees were a bunch of crooks and the Sadducees were a bunch of crooks. And here's how I can explain the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees were a bunch of legalists. They would add things to salvation. You got to do this, yes, but you also got to do this. You know, you got to join our cult. You got to wear a hijab or whatever they call that thing that the Muslim women wear, you know. Or you got to get baptized in the Mormon tabernacle or something like that, you know. They were adding things to the Scripture. They were extreme religion. And then on the other side, you had the Sadducees. And the Sadducees said, well, there's no such thing as angels. There's no such thing as a resurrection. So let's don't be so strict. Let's be a little bit loose, as a matter of fact. And let's don't express all these things that the Old Testament taught us. And we'll find a way to justify that. Boy, is that not the day that we're living in, crooked clergy? Crooked clergy. And the Jewish religious leaders were in it for the praise and the position and the power and the money and the possessions that came with that leadership. Is that not the day that we're in the Christian church today? I mean, now, common sense would tell me if you had 30,000, 40,000 people in one church building, you need to split up and start a church somewhere else. Don't you? Wouldn't you say that? I'd say 300 or 400. You might want to look on the other side of town and say, where are these people coming from? Let's start a church over there too. But not today, buddy. The bigger it gets, the more they like it, because guess what comes with people? Money comes with people. Amen? Doesn't matter if they all die and go to hell, as long as they throw something in that KFC bucket when it goes by every Sunday. Amen? But before he came the first time, religion was out of control, and you couldn't find many real believers in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Not many was left. And is that not the way we are today? We got church buildings all over. If you got run over this morning, you probably got run over by somebody going to church. That's right. Churches are full. The buildings are full. The problem is they're going and they're getting nothing. And, the leadership is bad. And it was the same way when Jesus was born the first time. Religion was out of control. They had crooked clergy. They had crooked politicians. Israel was eat up with crooked politics. They'd made deals with Rome, and they'd made deals with the Romans, and they'd made deals with crooked religious leaders. The crooked religious leaders made deals with the crooked politicians, and it had ruined Israel. And when all that happened, that was the fullness of time. When it all got so bad, that was the time that Jesus came right there. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Is that not the day we live in? Boy, it's just getting more and more and worse and crookeder, you know. And the preacher's got his hand in the pocket of the politician. The politician's got his hand in the pocket of the preacher, you know. And they got their hands in the pocket of the public and the church members. And boy, it's just getting worse and worse. I think it's a whole lot like it was in Israel when Jesus came the first time. Wouldn't you say amen on that? Amen. Amen. I'm getting somewhere. Hang on. Did you know that it was a time of violence? Mankind at that time was more violent since it had been since Noah. It was a time of violence. And is that not the day that we live in today? The world's full of violence. Did you know there's over 100 wars going on right now in the world? Over 100. No, they're not world wars. They're not all of them don't have a bunch of countries involved. They may be fighting amongst themselves, you know, like Libya or Lebanon or Iraq or Iran and places like that. Wars are going on all over this world, and a lot of them in the name of religion. Not Christianity, of course. We don't have wars. And right now in America, would you not agree with me and say this is one of the most violent times in America? I mean, when you can't go to work sometimes because people's protesting, and they'll rock your car and burn your house and hurt each other, shootings and stabbings and killings. Could you not agree with me that in this church age, this is probably a whole lot like it was in that age? Did you know Rome didn't even have many of their own soldiers? Rome hired other countrymen to be their soldiers. They didn't fight. The Romans, they were lazy, and they were spoiled, and they were rich, and they'd stay at home and have parties, and they'd pay the German army to fight for them, which they had conquered. or they would pay what was Great Britain now, wasn't then, but they'd pay the people that lived in Britain, they'd pay those armies to fight for them who they had conquered. They paid those soldiers' salary. Boy, it looks a whole lot like America, don't it? Boy, there's wars and rumors of wars, and there's violence. I read yesterday, this boy running from law in his car, ran into a house and killed a poor man sitting in his living room watching television. Didn't even know him. He died because that boy was running from law because he was living violently. And just think around this town how many kids have died because of drugs and alcohol and shootings and stabbings and all these things. Think about it. A whole lot like it was then when the fullness of the time had come. God sent forth His Son. And listen, it wasn't like what we see on TV. It wasn't a nice time when Jesus was born the first time. It was a bad time when He was born the first time. And then we look back on that as the church, and we look at that as the hope of the world, and it was. But at that moment, they didn't even recognize Him. Is that not the same day we live in today? Violence and wickedness and crooked politicians and crooked clergy everything looks a whole lot like it did. And he said, when the fullness of time was come, talking about with Israel. And now he says, when the fullness of the Gentiles' times come, I'm coming again. You know, we could be living in the last generation of mankind before Jesus comes back. Think about it. If you will, turn with me to John chapter 14, real quick, and all of you know it. John chapter 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where you I am, there you may be also. We read that at a funeral, but you know he's not talking about a funeral. He says, I'm going to go prepare this place, and one day I'm coming back, and I'm going to get you so you can be where I am. He's talking to the whole church. Now, we use that funeral, and it's very comforting, and those people that believed on him did go to a better place. But thank God, he's talking about all believers. One day he's coming back, and he's going to take us out of here, and there's going to be a mass exodus all of a sudden. He's coming. Now, then he said in Acts chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, verse 11, Jesus has come back. He spent about, I think it was 50 days total back on planet Earth, and he's taught and he's preached in his resurrection body. And now he walks out on walks up the road, you know, and he stops, and all of a sudden, while he's talking, he starts going up into the clouds, just ascending up into the clouds, just rising up into the clouds. And when he gets up in the clouds, he's way up there. The disciples are looking at him, and they're in awe, you know, and man, what are we going to do now? And all of a sudden, somebody says something. And they look around, there's a couple angels standing around them. And he said, why do ye men stand here gazing up? This same Jesus is coming back in like manner as he left. That means in the clouds, in all his glory. Physically, not spiritually. Physically, he's coming back. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that means that when somebody repents, Jesus came back that time. The Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that whenever somebody dies, Jesus came back that time. The Mormons will tell you every time somebody got baptized, Jesus came back that time. Well, that's stretching the truth so far, it's unbelievable. Well, let me tell you what it means. He's coming back just like he left. He's going, but he's coming. And so he said, this same Jesus is coming back. But wait a minute, Revelation chapter 20. Turn over there, 19, if you will. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Revelation 19. Now you got to remember, this is John writing. He's up in heaven. And God told him, said, write it down. So under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he's wrote it down. And here's what he said. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's us. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he doth smite. He should smite the nations, and should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There he is. There he is. Now that first time we're going to celebrate, you know, and we put up these little manger scenes. They're usually wrong, but we put them up anyway, you know. Little baby in a manger, you know, he came like that. By the way, these wise men didn't come till about 2 years later. But a little baby right here in the... he wasn't in a manger. He was a little child in the house then. But there he is. He's born, and he's in a manger, and he's so sweet, and he's so loving, and he's so gentle. And he was born in a barn, and he was laid in a trough, and nobody would be offended at him. And everybody looks at that little baby and sings about sweet little Jesus. And yes, he was, and yes, he grew up to be the suffering servant, and yes, he grew up to be the lamb that was slain for our sins, and yes, he grew up, and he laid down his life on purpose, and he did it for us so we could be saved, and we wouldn't have to go to a devil's hell by trusting him and him alone. And he did all that, and he lived a perfect sinless life that we can't live, and he died the wages of a sinner, the wages of sin's death. He died for our sins. Yes, he did. And he laid down his life. No man took it from him. He laid it down. Yes, he did. And then finally on that cross he said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost, the Bible said, and they buried him in a tomb, and nobody's offended at that. And everybody likes that, because here's this sweet little baby Jesus, and we're going to celebrate this baby's birth. But I got news for you. He ain't coming back as a baby. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's coming back in all his glory and all his splendor. And they're not going to see a little baby. They're going to see God himself riding the horse. And he's going to come back with the armies of heaven. And he's going to smite the wicked. And he's going to destroy the devil's crown. And he's going to set up his kingdom. And he's going to rule it for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. And that's why the devil don't like Christmas. And a lot of people are deceived about Christmas. He's deceived them. Did you know the Christmas that we celebrate? And I'm not against Christmas. I love Christmas, and we celebrate Christmas. I'm not against it. And we decorate our church with Christmas. And some people get offended at a Christmas tree. If we ever get a church big enough, we're going to have one. If it offends you, just bite your tongue. But there ain't nothing wrong with a Christmas tree. It's worship in it that's wrong. And I like all that stuff, you know, and I appreciate Christmas. And I didn't know what it was for 23 years. And he found me and saved me, and he keeps me. But let me tell you something. Christmas is not about that little baby now. To me, Christmas is about the King of Glory, willing to lay down his life so we could be saved. And when the fullness of time was come with the Jewish nation, and God had set it all up, and he'd got it where he wanted it to be, and he got all the orders and all the rituals and all the laws in place that would represent that glorious king, and that he could live. And people would say, well, that's in the Word of God. He's exactly like that. And that's in the Word of God. He's exactly like that. And that's in the Word of God. He's exactly like that. And nobody else could ever say that about any other man. And when God got all that together, and everything was ready, and mankind was at their worst, just like they were with Noah, 2,000 years after Noah, God sent his son in that little manger so that we could be saved. So here it is. It's about 2,000 years later. It's about time for the earth to rest. You know, every 7,000 years in the Bible is a year of rest. You don't plant nothing in your crop. You don't plant nothing there that you've been planting in on that seventh year. And you get. And by the way, you forgive debts on the seventh year. You pay debts on the seventh year. You get things right with other people on all through the Old Testament. And listen, it's coming up pretty close to the seventh year. And the old world's tired. and the church is tired. But I got news for you. When the fullness of the time of the Gentiles has come, and that's us. We're not Jews, we're Gentiles. Everybody's not a Jew is a Gentile. Black, red, white, yellow, whatever color you might be. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. And our time's about up. The angels proclaimed his birth. When he comes back, he'll proclaim his own return. Isaiah prophesied of him as a suffering servant. But John says, not this time. He's a reigning king. And when the fullness of time was come, he sent forth his son. And when the fullness of the time of Gentiles is complete, he's coming again. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. It's not scary to me. I'm happy for it. I wish it was today. And by the way, if he comes today, those of you who ain't saved, you can have everything I got. My billfold's right there. Got a couple credit cards in it. My car key's right there. You can have that. You can even have that phone. I'll tell you the password to it. Hey, get everything I got because I won't need it anymore. Amen? He's taking me out of here. And then the next time you see me, I'm going to be riding right behind him. And I'm going to be in his army. So the question is again, what if Jesus came for Christmas? Titus chapter 2, listen to this, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll live godly. We'll live holy. Why? Because we're looking for Jesus to come back at any minute. Not to be saved, but because I am saved. And I don't want to be called unawares. And listen, he's coming back, and so we ought to, it's already planned. You might as well accept it. It's planned. You can't change it. You can't delay it. And you say, well, I got to get this straightened out. Better get it done. John preached it. Peter preached it. Paul preached it. James preached it. Many great men of God have preached it all through the centuries. That's been the message of the church. He's coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again. It's planned. It's time. He's coming in all his glory. He's coming with power. So I got one more verse we need to read. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is what we need to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 6. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, in other words, they're in darkness. And they that be drunken in the night, they're in darkness. But let us who are of the day, we're in the light, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He said we need to be looking. We're children of light. We're not children of the dark. We don't live like they do anymore. We don't think like they do anymore. We don't behave like they do anymore. We're children of light. God's given us the light of salvation. He's given us the light of His Son. And we know because of that light, when the fullness of time was come, His Son came to live and to die for sinners and rise from the grave. And we know now that when the fullness of the time of the Gentiles comes, He's coming back again to take His church, those who believe out. And we ought to live like it. And we ought to talk like it. And we ought to be sober. And we ought to be looking. And we ought to wake up. See, I'm your pastor. I have to say things I don't like to say. A preacher can run in here and say things that don't bother him, but it bothers me. Did you know we got to wake up? If we've got lost loved ones, you know, today may be the day, and they're going to die and go to hell without you. And if you're gone, who's going to tell them then? You need to tell them now. Hey, we've got children, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, maybe mothers and fathers that don't know what we know. They're not in the light. They've never received the light. And you don't want to admit it, and you don't want to believe it, and you don't want to think about it. And I understand that. But they're going to die and go to a devil's hell if Jesus comes today and they're not saved. And what are you going to do about it? Some of y'all need to have some serious conversations with people you love. You need to quit overlooking things like this. And by the way, if he does come and they're left behind, when they stand before the great white throne judgment, they can look at you standing back there above among the redeemed and say, you know, that's my mama and she never told me nothing like this. That's my daddy over there. That's my daddy standing back there, God, and he never told me about this stuff. That's my brother over there, and he never told me. That's my sister. She never told me. They said they loved me, and they said they cared about me, and now I'm going to die and go to hell, and they didn't tell me about this stuff. You say, preacher, I'm afraid they'll get mad at me. They may. Because you know what? When you hit a sore spot, people holler. And if they're lost and going to hell, they don't want to talk about it. They don't have the courage. They don't have the illumination. They don't have the understanding, so they can't talk about it. But you're the one that's got all that, and you need to wake up. Time draweth nigh. You say, well, after the rapture, they'll see it. No, they won't. The Bible says they'll believe a lie. Won't be many saved during after the rapture. Don't go by the movies. Movies are not the Bible. It's high time that we'll wake out of sleep, he says. And we sound the trumpet. He's coming. He's coming. You know what? Lost people shouldn't even want to see us coming around because they know what our message is. So if people are comfortable, that you love, are comfortable around you as a Christian, it could be that you're not talking about what needs to be talked about. Well, I pray for my grandkids every day. God, please let them see the light. God, send somebody by to give them the light of the gospel. God, please let them get a Sunday school teacher that'll love them enough to share the gospel with them. Give them a preacher, a pastor that'll preach the truth to them. God, please, please, God, that's my grandchildren. So I want to ask you now, if Jesus came on Christmas Day the first time, what if he comes again on Christmas Day? Will it be like that old song, "Will the circle be unbroken"? I'm glad we rejoice over his second coming, I do. But it scares me about Christians and church members because so many of their children, their grandchildren, their loved ones are going to be left because they're afraid to tell. And it's going to be a bad time when Jesus comes. Why do you think the Bible says that God will wipe away all our tears in heaven? In heaven. There's going to be some tears in heaven. And could it be our own fault that there's going to be some tears in heaven because we didn't tell people we should have told that we said we loved because we were afraid that we'd hurt their feelings and they'd hurt ours? He's coming. I hope he comes on the 25th. I do. If he comes earlier, I'm happy. But if he comes on the 25th, I'm going to say, see there, I told you so. I tried to tell you. You know, every one of you is getting ready for his first coming. We call it Christmas. You're getting ready. You're starting to buy stuff. You're starting to decorate. Becky and my wife come over here, did a wonderful job decorating. You're doing all that. But are you getting ready for his second coming? Let's stand. Father, thank you for the word of God. Never change.